Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Rees, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Brittany Castillo. How are you, Brittany?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Brittany is the CEO of Ashbridge, who is the largest emergency management logistics company in America. And what you're going to hear about today is how she took this company and actually had a pivot when they were at the top of the mountain to grow even more significantly. And then you're going to hear about their culture. And also you're going to end with a fascinating personal American dream story about how this company was started and the family behind it. So let's start off. Welcome. Tell us, what is Ashbridge?
Absolutely. Ashbridge is a partner to communities that have experienced disaster and crisis event. Historically, and quite often that looks like being a partner to government in response to natural disasters, hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires, floods. In the last 2 years, that's looked like being a partner to the federal government as one of the two members responding to FEMA's national vaccination project and to 22 states as part of COVID response. And increasingly, the unfortunate reality is emergency management is a growing sector. And that looks like the unfortunate reality of the opioid crisis in this country, the crisis of housing and homelessness, humanitarian responses in our country and overseas. And our company, again, it's a partner to communities and to governments in times of crisis events.
So let's talk about what happened when you were dealing with all of the California fires and you were at the top, what you did, but then how you made this big pivot and changed the company. You'd already been a CEO for a few years at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. In 2017 is actually a really great place to focus to understand who Ashbridge is, what Ashbridge does. In 2017, as many people will remember, we had Hurricanes Harvey, Maria, Irma, followed by the Northern California wildfires in Sonoma, Lake County, Napa, and Mendocino counties. Those wildfires were then the most destructive fires at that point in California history. I had been CEO just under 2 years at that time, and I went out to California because the Army Corps of Engineers activated the Federal Disaster Response and Environmental Services contract, and our company was called to manage the recovery. So it was a really interesting time, right? You had hurricanes all across, again, Puerto Rico, the southwest and southeastern United States. Our teams were working across 67 different cities and counties, and I left those operations to go to California and manage this federal contract. Ended up being over a $300 million contract. We had over 400 people employed on that response. And what I'm proud of is that our activations are always responsive to the needs of the community. So in that part of Northern California, it was critical to have union team members, local workforce, and we were able to achieve over 79% local union labor force. And that's a core value of our company. The economic recovery of a community needs to happen alongside the physical recovery. It's one of our core values that we're able to maintain no matter where we're working in the country or the globe. But that California response was really interesting because our company got our start 25 years ago, almost to the day of us arriving in California, as a small local business partner under a then Army Corps of Engineer contract responding to Hurricane Andrew. From that response as a local subcontractor, we grew to 25 years later, almost to the day, being the federal government's prime partner in disaster response and recovery. And I'm really proud of that project.
And then you also made an additional shift into working with corporations, with big box, and trying this, what I call a brilliant strategy. You're already the leading in disaster recovery and emergency management logistics. You started working with corporations and solving bigger problems. And that was really your strategy driven. Talk about that.
Absolutely. So, humbly, following that 2017 season, I'm about 2 years into my role at CEO, and I said, we are the top of the mountain in what was our historical core business of the debris removal, disaster response, waste management space. And as a team and as a leadership team, we got together and we were looking at our strategic vision. We said, what we do really well is manage emergency and crisis events, primarily government partners, private sector as well. We're experts in emergency logistics. We're experts in government contracting and understanding operations anywhere on a truncated time period. We always, though, had done other services. We have been a longtime partner building congregate shelters, temporary infrastructure, bringing in food, ice, water, fuel, temporary power. And so when the pandemic happened, most people might not realize that it really initially was an emergency management response. Most cities, counties, and states, the federal government, it was a FEMA emergency management supporting the great leaders over at public health. And so our company was being activated across the country. We actually got our start in Massachusetts under our state contract for emergency logistics. And we started building field hospitals. But tremendous credit to the leaders at our team and our people across the country. We were able to move rapidly. We were building full turnkey field hospitals. I'm talking building of the hospital, getting the city and county permits, FDA licenses for medicine, bringing in nurses, doctors, and turnkey managing these facilities within under 6 days. It's tremendous. Your big box partnership stores, there was lots of empty Toys R Us's and Lord and Taylor's, Gardner Worlds in the Mid-Atlantic region. And we were able to go in, lease from these empty facilities, bring in local labor force, many of whom might have worked at these facilities before they were shut down, and turn those into really places of hope in communities for vaccines and testing efforts.
And what was the result of that?
The result was, it was great. We had over 6,800 people working across 22 states in 2021 up through today. Actually still have some operations currently active with monoclonal antibody infusion treatment sites. And I'm proud of that work. Ashford now is really known as an expert in emergency logistics, emergency management, in addition to being the best in the country at debris removal and environmental services after crisis events.
And I really commend you on the whole strategic move that you made there. How did that strategy was just great. How did you involve your whole company and your management team to make that happen?
Well, emergency management partnerships are critical. And we have a phenomenal team. Our company's celebrating this year our 30th anniversary, and I'm really proud that most of our team members from those first years are still here. About a third of our team has been at the company over 20 years. We've got employees 1 through 6 still at the company. But under my time, again, as CEO, about 6 years, we've tripled the size of our company. I'm really proud to say we've been really intentional about women in leadership across our company, and we've also doubled the size of women on our management team during that period. But for strategic planning, you know, our success is the team that we have, the leadership team across the country, those that are in the field that know the operations and logistics well. And my time has been met with people really excited to grow, to take what we do really well, what we are the best in the country at, and expand it to other verticals, if you will, to be able to support different facets of emergency management and response.
When you talk about the whole group and the culture, you mentioned values and that you're really mission-driven. Give an example.
Yeah, I think a great example comes actually from COVID. Our mission by contract was to rapidly, safely, and effectively open mass vaccination sites across the country. So when you were looking at your baseball or football stadiums that were turned into vaccination sites, most often in 22 states, that was our team. When you had pop-up sites at your community clinics or mobile vaccine sites, that was our team's work. But the spirit of the contract, right, is to be a community partner. We have a responsibility when we go into communities devastated by disaster, whether that's a hurricane or whether that's a pandemic, to support the communities in response. And so one of my favorite stories coming out of COVID was one of our key team members was in Virginia and had families coming up right when mass vaccination sites were opening. And families were saying, you know, I have a child or an adult person I'm a caregiver for with special needs, intellectual disabilities, autism. And it was happening frequently. And he was over a bunch of sites and he was seeing that. And he said, we need a plan to support these families. And he reached out to the leadership team and said, hey, I've contacted Autism Speaks. I've contacted Best Buddies, which is a national organization working with people with intellectual disabilities. And we're going to create a partnership and a toolkit that supports and trains our team and also supports those families in understanding what to expect. And I was so excited because you remember a lot of times families weren't able to go to their pediatrician or their doctor to access the vaccine. And so for our team to say, I am committed not only to setting this up, but ensuring that it's something that everyone in the community can access, it is something I'm proud of. And we did. We worked with those organizations to create the only toolkit for families and for project managers and for companies to support families with autism and special need in obtaining the vaccination for those that elected it.
Well, I commend you on that. It's fabulous what you've done. And when we come back from commercial break, which we're about to take, you're then going to hear a true American dream story. Back in a few.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're talking with Brittany Castillo, who is the CEO of AshGrid, and this is the largest emergency management logistics company. We've heard a lot of what they've done as a leader in disaster recovery and in debris removal, but what everyone loves is a great American dream story. And I think this all started like with your dad and mom, right? And even when you look at Ash Britt, it's named for your older sister, Ashley, and you, Brittany, and here you are all these years later, CEO. Talk about this American dream story.
It is a great story, and it's one I'm really proud of, one that our team is really proud of, and certainly a story that's active in the culture of our company and the values and the work that we do. So I have a Cuban mother, an American father, and they had children quite young. My father had a small landscaping company. And as I mentioned earlier, after Hurricane Andrew devastated South Florida, was looking to go to work, both to support his community, but also to make payroll, and keep his team working. And from that grew the company in 25 years to the largest emergency management company focused on debris removal in the United States. I had been a longtime member of the board of directors of the company, active in the corporate foundation, but I left for about 12 years to pursue my own career. And I had a great career, did some really interesting projects, and part of that was being a prosecutor. I was a prosecutor in Texas working with crimes against children, rather, and then I opened my own law firm. And people seem to think, you know, that's a big pivot, and it really isn't. When you were practicing law, working, you know, first of all, sure, you're out in front of a judge, you're out in front of a jury, you get tremendous experience communicating, you understand government well. But really, in the end of the day, what I did was work with individuals and families in crisis and representing them, explaining government systems and government bureaucracy, and advocating for those individuals and families. I took a quick stint doing some government contracting, but when I came to AshGrid, we do the same thing at our core. What we do in supporting communities after crisis events, and at the end of the day, our communities are individuals and families. It is the small businesses that are devastated. It's working with people who have experienced loss of life, have experienced loss of property, I'll never forget after the wildfires in 2017, I lived on the ground for 6 months personally managing the operation, and families would watch our crews doing the environmental work and demolishing the rest of their homes, and they're looking for the smallest memento that was left. And the end of the day, what we do at AshGrid is respond to individuals and families that have experienced crisis events. And certainly, yes, now we do it on a national scale for the federal government, for states, for large cities and counties. But in the end of the day, the core of what we do is being experts at operations and logistics to respond to allow those individuals and families to have the strongest, safest, and most effective and efficient recovery to get back to a sense of normalcy.
Mm. And how do you bring together? You obviously have a very strong culture, values-driven, mission-driven, but at times you'll need to bring in a lot of people on a certain project. How do you infiltrate your whole value system to all of the people you're bringing in? That's not easy.
It's not easy, but it's a key important part. So I think it's a couple things. First, I want to make sure, you know, sure, it's a family business, but it's no small business. We talk about being the largest women-led company in our space. In my time as CEO, I've managed over $2 billion in revenue In this past year and a half alone, we've had over 6,800 team members working under Ashbrit across the United States. And we manage significant resources when it comes to our congregate shelters, our temporary infrastructure, obviously our iron and heavy equipment. And we do that, again, because of the team. And you ask how we manage it. Partners are incredibly important in emergency management and response. And if I may, it's a few aspects. We talked about our team. We've got team members that have been here a very long time. And we're very thoughtful about our partners. One of my growth strategies is certainly partnerships and emergency management. And we hold our partners to a really high standard. Everyone who works with the Ashbrit team, whether an individual or a partner company, understands that our key objective is to do well by the communities where we're operating. That means any of our partners are going to hold our commitment that we, everywhere possible, hire local. We have a focus year-round on engaging small, minority, women-owned businesses in emergency operations. We have a commitment that our large businesses, it's not going to be lip service. You're going to ensure those small businesses can work. So you're going to pay them on 7-day cycles. You're going to ensure that they have access to the equipment they need to go out into the community and work. And I think it ends up being that when we leave a community, that we're all making a long-term commitment through our corporate foundation or other work to the long-term rebuilding and recovery. And it's worked well. You know, 30 years in, we're the largest company in the United States because, and I truly believe it, it's the commitment to doing well by our team and by the communities where we work.
That's wonderful. And you, as I do, you are putting into action driving success with women. It's key to you, I could tell.
It is, because I think it's key to the industry. The emergency management industry is a robust, interesting industry, and you probably can tell my emotion. It's an exciting, and you know, we're in a really unique position, and so I thank you for the time today to share it, because emergency management, due to the pandemic, became really a commonplace, you know, in our vocabulary around our dinner table. We all sat and we watched our governors do their, daily talk, our daily kind of talk to the communities. And because of that, I think we're in a really unique position. The unfortunate reality is, with changes of climate, population growth, since I've been at the company, we've had a major disaster response due to a natural disaster every single year between hurricanes and floods and tornadoes, obviously with the pandemic. But the emergency management community is growing and looking at other crises. Again, we talked about humanitarian crisis, homelessness crisis. And I think women are uniquely positioned to support the response and recovery and to achieve the objectives of emergency management, which is building resilient communities, which is planning effectively for disaster events, and it's about responding and rebuilding communities. Look at the pandemic. We turn to families and nurses and nonprofits to get out the vaccine, if you will, like get out the vote. Who runs most of those organizations? It tends to be women. So I think it's both that it's critically important to engage women in emergency management to achieve the objectives of the industry, but it's also a fascinating career where you can have a strong, stable financial career and you can do well by your community and have tremendous community impact. And I still wholeheartedly believe women are not exposed to the various facets of emergency management at the same degree as men, and that's something we're working hard internally and in the community.
Fabulous. Anyone who wants to get in touch with you, what is the website of Ashbrit?
ashbrit.com, Ashbrit.
And there you have it. We have time for just one sentence on the future of Ashbrit. About 20 seconds left.
Ashbrit is the emergency logistics partner to governments domestically and overseas. We are there when you need us, and our commitment is to support communities in their time of need.
Okay, great having you on the CEO Show, Brittany.
Thank you, Robert.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Youngevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Youngevity for over 17 years, since before it was Youngevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Youngevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Youngevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Youngevity.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
America, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Gary Shapiro. How are you, Gary?
I am great, Robert, and so happy to be with you and honored to be on this show.
And Gary, as you know, we've interviewed several times. He is the CEO of the Consumer Technology Association for, I believe, something like 27 years. I want to start before there because you also are the producer of CES, which is the largest trade show of any type and obviously of introduction of what's coming down the pike in innovation in the entire world. Talk about what lessons you learned from CES in 2022.
CES 2022 is an extraordinary experience because, like everyone else, in 2021, we were purely digital. January CES, unfortunately, followed the Omicron virus, and it was, from Thanksgiving on, was very difficult because as Omicron expanded in the United States, we faced a difficult decision as some companies were concerned about the environment for their customers and employees, and it became almost a virus in itself of companies pulling out of the show. So we had to make a decision whether we went forward or not. And we decided to go forward because, first of all, we were undertaking every possible healthcare measure. We did a lot of social distancing. Plus, we offered free tests to everyone who came. And we were also listening to our government that said, go forward with your business environment. We have to get back to normal. And we wanted to take a leadership permission on that. Plus, we learned as time went on what an obligation we had to the entrepreneurs of the world who participated. They really wanted us to go forward. And in fact, our final attendance numbers, we had over 14,000 people come from outside the United States to Las Vegas in early January at the very peak of Omicron. Now, that was way beyond what we expected. It was a record for any event in the United States for 2 years to have that many, and I'm including sporting, for any international group to come. And boy, was it gratifying. Almost everyone that was there had a great experience. They were so happy to be with each other. They were happy to do business, and what they saw was amazing. Incredible innovation. The lesson is sometimes you have to buck the public opinion and, frankly, even the press that seem to want us to cancel and go forward and do what's right. Do what's right for your customers and requires taking a principled stand. And I was so happy to have partners in it like Qualcomm's CEO as well as Abbott CEO, Robert Ford, who was one of our first healthcare CEO. He shared that vision of, look, we got to get back to normal. We got to show the world that life will go on as we coexist with this virus. And indeed, the Business Travel Association said, you did the right thing. You did it the right way. It was a learning experience for everyone, but ultimately, and it was very painful, but it was the right thing to do.
And I have to tell you, I've spoken with tons of CEOs who were there, and everyone absolutely loved it. But talk about the content from 2022 and what are the hot issues now? Because you have a unique vantage point no one else in the world has of running the largest show on what's hot in innovation. So what should we be looking out for right now?
Communication. 5G is real. It's been taking over every 10 years. There's a new G and it changes everything in terms of the ability to get massive amount of information quicker. Healthcare is also dramatically being changed by, of course, artificial intelligence, telehealth, remote health. It's going around the world. People are, it's just shifting so rapidly in so many ways. But the devices themselves are now substituting for the shortage, increasing shortage of doctors. You know, we have a fixed number of doctors in the United States. It doesn't change. But yet we're an older population. Hospitals, healthcare costs more. The solution is innovation and technology, which allows remote monitoring, allows predicting whether someone has to come back to a hospital, scarce resources, everything. It's the solution. We're also, of course, seeing transportation alternatives, which are absolutely huge, from self-driving to electric to hybrid to solar. And we're seeing things which solve fundamental problems in the world. From food production, we had John Deere there, and we'll have more and more agricultural food production as we see CES in the future. And clean water, clean air, all sorts of devices, things that are growing closer to home, smart cities. We see so much changing so quickly because of how technology has changed. Creative minds around the world, but especially in the U.S., I might add, are solving fundamental problems that are facing the world.
And what's your take on the metaverse? Is it real? Is it not real? How far will it go?
Well, the metaverse is really it's been around for a bit. There's some things out there which we're already using in the metaverse. It's becoming more real to go online. It allows more experience, which seems more real. It's more extensive around you. And, you know, right now you're wearing different ways of seeing it to be immersed in the experience. It'll certainly allow opportunities for companies that are sharp and creative and clever to think about how they brand, how they reach their target audience. But I wouldn't bet everything on the metaverse. Some things are overhyped. You know, when 3D television came out, I was very vocal that this is just a feature, folks. It's a natural transition, and 3D television became part of just about every TV experience, but nobody wanted to wear those glasses all the time. So I'm a little cautious in endorsing this fully, as this is the solution. I think immersive television will also be around the walls around you, and video, and it'll include other things like better audio and better interactivity, and you combine that with 5G, you combine it with other things. Think about what will happen in the self-driving car, how you'll get places, and create your own experience in that car. It could be an office experience. It could be an entertainment experience. There's so many different ways we could get to the future we know we're going to that companies that figure out are going to do well.
Just out of curiosity, what's your take on blockchain?
Well, blockchain is very important in so many different ways, and certainly the cyber currencies is part of it, but it's a way of determining authenticity, NFTs, even getting countries which don't have real ownership now, which for land and things like that. It allows you to verify that in a very inexpensive way. And once there is private property, for example, there's a lot of research which shows that countries flourish, economies flourish, if you could make sure that private property can be transferred, it can be owned, it can be records kept. So there's so many things that blockchain is definitely the future. Distributed intelligence, decision making, it's real. You know, you could talk about, you have debates about NFTs and cyber currencies, but all those are ways of using blockchain. So there's lots of great ways of even managing, like, contributions of charities to different countries that are in need with food. You could see the supply chain with blockchain. It'll be part of our natural transactions and how we do things in the future, but it'll be generally invisible.
How much will voice activation, is it already at the point, or is it going to go a lot further?
You know, in the smart speakers connected to the Internet were introduced at CES many years ago. We talked about that this is the new channel. And we're there already, if you think about it. Like, my kids have these devices now in their homes, and they ask everything from the weather to, you know, I'm sure it helps them get their schoolwork done. So voice is very important, and also it allows a lot of people with disabilities to be fully functioning members of society. They could just communicate with their voice, even though they may not be able to move other parts of their body. And certainly voice is easier and quicker than, you know, whoever thought, like, 15 or 20 years ago, we'd go to society where your thumbs determine and your fingers are pecking where you go on your smartphone. So voice is making a difference. A lot of us have shifted to certainly dictating a lot of what we do to become more productive. The typos are being fixed more readily. There's still some marriage of artificial intelligence we need, but voice is the future for a lot of different things as well, but not in every environment. On airplanes, voice is not the future, hopefully. So it depends where we are and what we need, but there'll be different ways to solve many of the same problems.
Okay, we're going to take a commercial break in about 1 minute. Question on CTA, what are you doing in advocacy?
So we are a nonprofit trade association representing American technology companies, over 1,500 of them, and we believe that the big solution to our nation and world's problems is innovation. So everything we do is focused on the concept of making sure innovation is allowed and even encouraged to occur in the United States and elsewhere in the world. But Canada is part of what we do, but we certainly believe the rest of the world should follow what we do. We rate countries as to how innovative they are. We rate states as to how innovative they are, whether they welcome innovation. We want to make sure government doesn't choke innovation. You know, they're going after big tech. They don't like innovation. They want to tax innovation. A lot of things make the United States strong. We attract the best and the brightest. We still have a great university system and educational system, but we're continuing to choke innovation and try to make this the bad guys. But really, if you look at our success, it's come from so many different factors, and we want to preserve that, encourage that for our kids and grandkids. And the way you get there is not by increasing our debt. We don't ask the government for money for our industry. We believe that's a big problem. And we also think if you look at inflation right now, which is a huge immediate problem we face, there is a business cycle, and we just haven't had it in 40 years in terms of inflation. You can only beat inflation by killing the economy and toning it down a lot, or by greater productivity. You know, I've been saying innovate or die, and that's what we have to do. So our job in the Washington environment is to make sure that we can convince policymakers here, Republican and Democrat, we don't care, that innovation is the answer to our problem as a country. It's propelling our economy, and it's just not, you know, Silicon Valley and the big tech companies. We have 1,500 members, and they include all sorts of companies in healthcare, in transportation, in food production, in technology. We welcome everybody who's focused on innovation. And disruptive innovation is even more tough and more important because disruptive innovation is what happens in the United States. We come from people that think we could do things better than anyone else. Our kids solve problems. It's our culture. It's who we are. It's our First Amendment, which allows it. It's also the fact that we're so focused on immigrants and new people coming in that we are the most heterogeneous country in the world. We could get different people from different cultures and even different languages to get in a room and disagree with each other in a respectful way and come out with good things. And we reward innovation. We can't lose sight of that.
And there we have it. We're about to take a commercial break. When we come back with Gary Shapiro, we are going to talk about how we recover from disruption and what his insights are. Back.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow Whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's bestwheyprotein.net or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Gary Shapiro. And the question, Gary, is we know we've gone through disruption. Everyone is trying to recover, but they want to leapfrog. What is your advice on how you advance after disruption?
You know, the reality is, as a famous scientist said 200 years ago, it's not the strongest, it's not the fastest, it's those who can adapt the quickest. And that's what we have to do. Look, we've seen huge advancements in just a couple of decades. You know, we just used to have three broadcasters and cable came along, satellite came along, pre-recorded video cassettes, then DVD, now HDTV, Ultra HDTV, streaming services. Everyone's disrupted everyone else. And who's benefited? Consumers, content producers, those who are flexible, those who had new ideas. And we see that same thing in every discipline. And we see it across disciplines. You are going to be disrupted if you're a company. The question is, do you adapt or not? And if you don't, you die.
Okay, let's talk about when there are major financial challenges. What can companies do? What are the first steps that they could use to innovate?
Well, you know, what some companies do is they rush the government to protect them from innovation. We're seeing that now. For example, self-driving cars. They have to get here. We're competing against other countries. But what do we see? We see trial lawyers and we see unions fighting that, truck driver unions. Like, imagine, what a crazy thing. Imagine it's like the elevator operators, the personal operators killing the elevators. It's like Hollywood trying to kill the VCR. Every step of the way to innovation, there are going to be people going to government to shut you down. We can't allow it. And that's the great thing about the First Amendment and a free society and the fact that, you know, we need a Congress and a president where there's divided government, not one party controlling everything that's controlled, for example, by trial lawyers and others, because they are not, we face a lawyer tax. We can't do that as a society. But what a company should do, if you are being disrupted, is you better start brainstorming quickly and you got to leapfrog and adjust and adapt and do things differently. If you just have the same business model and you just keep doing it, it's not going to work. And you have to distinguish yourself. You always have to be best at something, but you have to move that target as things change. And you have to really stay close to your customer and figure out, and you have to get the best talent you can. You have to be able to inspire your employees and push them and listen to them, especially those that are on the front line dealing with customers to hear what they're saying. You can't just, you know, the problem with COVID is a lot of people just stayed at home. They don't talk to their customers. They don't even talk to their employees. And that's been something I think CEOs have felt, is disconnected. And that's why what I believe in, as much as I love and am the advocate for technology and innovation, you have to get together with other people. You have to allow serendipity to occur. You have to be able to be open to new things that are developing. And we designed the CES in Las Vegas every January and around the world and other places so that people could get together and be inspired and see things they haven't seen before and meet people. And we've tried to do that online virtually. It's very difficult. We haven't totally succeeded in knowing. One has. So you got to be willing to get together with people. You have to have your mind open to different things. And you have to hire, attract, retain, and inspire those employees that are willing to think outside the box, that are willing to provide value in a different way. And you have to recognize that diversity is a strength, not a weakness. It's one of the great American national strengths is that we have so many different types of people here that think differently. And they're the best in the world are attracted to come here. And we want those people.
Okay, now I got to go. You're positive, you're exciting. Now I have to go to more negative things. I want to talk about inflation and supply chain and how this thing pans out, what are you seeing?
Well, what we're seeing is the world is fundamentally changing. Those that have the jobs where they can work from home are not only working from home, they're moving to places they want to be. We're seeing rapid changes in population from an urban, in some case, to a rural, a suburban, or even a resort environment. We're seeing people from Eastern Europe and Russia flooding into the United States marketplace now with investing dollars, not only real estate, but in our companies and stocks. We're seeing major transitions occur in rapid ways that have never experienced in our lifetime. So it's just not about the supply chain and chip shortages. We're going to see that for a long time. We have to figure out that, you know, relying upon sole source suppliers may be cheaper and more profitable in the short term, but it's dangerous in the long term. We're seeing reliance on China is very dangerous. We're seeing shifts in where production must occur and can occur. So we have to adapt to all of that. And we have to recognize that the old ways of doing things and what companies used to do and how we used to survey consumers has changed because people's views have changed rapidly. They're wanting today, they want experiences. They want to travel. They want to immerse. They want to live for today. About 20% of the population is still COVID isolated. We have to deal with them. We're never going to get those back. A lot of people don't want to work anymore. Let's be honest here. We've lost generations of workers either to, you know, legalized drugs, to the fact that they're stuck in a government paycheck, they're not paying their student loans off. We have all sorts of changes going on in society at the same time, and we have to adapt to those. We have to adapt to appealing to those employees that we want to get and figure out how to get to them with new sorts of benefits, new sorts of options, and maybe their contractors in. And we have to convince our government that we just can't do things the way we used to do it. We can't have a government run as a roadblock to innovation where everything takes a long permitting process. You know, or look at fuel supplies today. They are in danger for the next several years, and we have to shift our government thinking on that so that nuclear is not bad. All options aren't bad. Yeah, we may want to get rid of coal, but we have to allow permitting to occur. I mean, no one's going to invest in natural gas or oil production if they think the government's going to switch around in a year or two. So we have to have a government, elect government officials that are recognizing they have to be nimble. They have to fight for U.S. interests. They have to be able to change, and we have to act as corporate executives and deal with these other issues involving whether we take positions on social issues, how we stay close to employees, how we engage with our own employees when they're spread out all around the country. And one of the things we're saying, you know what, the most efficient way to get together your customers, to your people, and even to your remote employees is to meet in one place, to go to live events like CES, and to have that, maintain that face-to-face connection so people are basing it on relationships. People are leaving jobs now because they're not engaged, and they're not engaged because they're not having anything but business at their companies through Zoom calls. And that's a dangerous thing. So how do we shift? We have to change as leaders, as CEOs deeply. And that's one thing I value is talking to CEOs around the country, people who are doing what I'm doing, people that are CEOs in the innovation world and industry, and see how they're doing with it.
Well, Gary, you've spoken a lot about innovate or die, and that innovation is the most important. People have to be face-to-face. They need to be agile and nimble. What is, in your estimation, the biggest roadblock to innovation?
Sometimes the biggest roadblock to innovation is actually success. If you're successful, you think you're doing everything right and you can coast, basically. But the reality is you always have to challenge yourself. You have to create, in a sense, your own internal opposition to even compete with your existing products. I mean, Amazon's certainly done that multiple times, starting with the Kindle competing with the hard copy books early on. But I hate just saying this is the biggest, because there's other super big ones. Government is too often a roadblock to innovation. The status quo is a roadblock. How you deal with your employees and whether you can inspire them is a roadblock to innovation. You know, there are hiring people that look and act like you is a roadblock to innovation. So I think you have to look at multiple things. And, you know, whether you're isolated in your own ivory tower in the executive suite, is also a roadblock to innovation. So I hate just saying one thing because that leaves out all the other things that can contribute to a company failing to change dramatically at some time.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.